Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Wednesday, July 6, 2016. With me today, I have John Martellaro. And how are you doing, John?
I'm good. Good morning. Good to be here.
Good morning. And it's great to have you here. It's also great that our sponsor this week is Casper, the mattress company, because I love sleep. We'll get to them soon. But before we do that, we need to talk about something that's cool and yet creepy at the same time. And this is the world of AI agents, meaning artificial intelligence agents. And you were pointing out that there are some potential issues with this whole thing with AI agents. And actually, before we jump into that, can you give me a simple explanation of what an AI agent is?
Well, let's see. I'll give it my best shot. An intelligent agent, or artificial intelligent agent, is a piece of software that simulates another human being's mind in that it can converse with you, it can know things about you, it can answer questions, sometimes questions about you, but most notably in our experience, answer questions about external events and knowledge like Siri does when you ask Siri a question.
Okay.
And intelligent agents, artificial intelligence agents, have had their ups and downs in the past because the technology of artificial intelligence is difficult. And there was a time in the 80s and 90s when we thought we had it, and then we realized we didn't know as much as we needed to know. So it's been going through a bit of a renaissance. And nowadays, we have artificial intelligence agents that are not quite like we envisioned in the past, in science fiction past, when it wasn't really clear who was producing the artificial intelligence agents, and the science fiction authors didn't have a real clear perspective about the financial aspects of it. But what's becoming clear now is that these AI agents are being funded by companies that have a very solid interest in knowing a lot about you so that they or their agents can sell you things, whether it's directly through Amazon or whether it's indirectly through Google. And these giant tech companies have the resources and the talent and the research staff to build these agents that can carry on a conversation with you. The problem about this, and I had this discussion with Bruce Horn, now with Intel, in a previous Background Node podcast, was that...
Oh, then we need to include a link in the show notes today.
Yes. Bruce mentioned something that's kind of key to this, and that is artificial intelligence agents, in order to be really successful and to feel like they're human and to feel like they're helpful, have to know an awful lot about you personally. I mean, it's, as we were saying in a recent podcast, it's one thing to say, hey, I notice you're driving on Main Street. Your favorite fruit stand is just down the road. It's another thing to say, hey, your subscription to Playboy is coming up. Would you like me to renew it? Or something along those lines, where you kind of feel like the agent is digging into your personal life, becoming so intimate that it becomes creepy. And the way to solve that problem is to do a lot of, one, localization, where the AI agent stays on your high-powered 64-bit iPhone, which has tremendous processing power, and so it keeps the information local to you. Or two, you use what Apple's using called differential privacy. And differential privacy is a statistical technique of learning about a group and a group's habits without trying to learn too much about any individual in it. And it's mathematically sound in the sense that it's not possible to go back and tunnel into the data and identify the source of the information that provided this data. So you can do things that are global. Like, you know, we all like... we all think, well, what's the best Macintosh website? Well, statistically, you know, it's the Mac Observer from all the customers viewing and things like that. But in terms of being able to drill backwards and learn about peculiar, interesting, private information about the customer, that it's, you can't do that. It's a one-way process. The information goes up. And part and parcel of that also is the fact that the internet has evolved in such a way that we've slowly let this information go one way. And so by virtue of browser technology and the way information is collected and the way browser coughs up information about you and how ads and trackers and various facilities within browsers can notice what you're doing and keep track of that information, but they do it subtly. You know, if you went back to 1998, mm-hmm. and you looked at a browser, you know, say like Internet Safari 1 or something like that, it was just based on HTTP, the transport layer, and then you had the HTML, and you just looked at pages, and that was it. But over the next decade, some extremely sophisticated techniques have evolved, but they stay behind the scenes. So your browsing experience in 2016 is, except for a lot of ads on the page that are visible, and you think you're ignoring them, looks a lot like the experience you had 10 or 15 years ago. But there's tremendous technology behind the scenes capturing information about what you're looking at, what you're interested in. And in terms of IP tracking, you know, the server can figure out your IP address, can figure out what town you're in, and then can shoot back a location-specific ad. Like, you know, have you been to Denny's in your town? It's right down the street. You're going to love it. So this information that we cough up by virtue of the subtlety of the information flow keeps us from restricting our data. And there's a lot of technology that has evolved lately to try to help protect customers. Do Not Track Me doesn't work because the industry hasn't agreed to do that. And the advertising people have undermined the Do Not Track button that you may have in your browser, even if you turn it on. Another thing you can do is you can install an ad blocker. But a lot of sites, some sites, are not able to deal with that very well, and so there's problems. So one of the articles I pointed to in Friday's Particle Debris was, can we stop giving away all this information for free? Is there a way to, you know, get control of the information? Probably not.
Yeah, isn't this like a Pandora's box of sorts?
Yeah.
We've already started giving up our personal information in mass. And we've been doing it for years. I don't see a way where we can turn that around and stop giving that information.
No, the only way to deal with this is to let the marketplace sort of self-select the AI agents that have merit. One can imagine that a company like Google or Amazon, in the process of building an AI agent, takes great care to build the AI agent in such a way that it has warm fuzzies. The company makes public affirmations about what it wants to do with the AI agent, and the AI agent itself communicates to you in a way that is comforting and builds confidence in the product. Unfortunately, I don't see that happening. From what I've read, the financial payoff to accessing this customer information is so huge that it just isn't going to happen.
Well, that's what's made Google so successful.
Yeah, and the only way to deal with that is to let the marketplace figure out what kind of AI agents people want. And that's why I'm kind of betting on Apple and Siri, because Apple has made this commitment to either protect our information and keep it local, or to use differential privacy to make sure that the information that is uploaded and utilized for our benefit and reflected back to us is not sourced specifically to us. So as people get to know these AI agents better and start using them more and start using them as substitutes for applications, which are really kind of weird because, you know, you do one application at a time on your phone, and it's kind of a, I think it's kind of a dying technology. Why sit there and tap and tap and tap and bring up a weather app to find out what the temperature of the time is when you can just talk to your phone and get instant information, mm-hmm. or aggregate the information amongst several apps? You know, the apps have data security issues and a limited ability to talk to each other, but an AI agent may be able to collect information better externally in certain ways.
John,
provide that helpful information better.
I think I found another problem with trying to get control over how much information we're sharing like this, and it's the fact that a lot of people just don't seem to care. They don't seem to have a problem with feeding out all of the intimate details of their life to a company like Google or Amazon or whoever, and letting those companies do as they please with that information.
Well, it's all part of that hidden business practice that we started learning about when apps first came out. When apps first were, when we went away from Web 2.0 apps and we got the ability to run apps on the phone itself, local apps, the apps were simple-minded and performed obvious tasks like showing us the weather or sunrise and sunset or managing photos or something like that. But by and by, we got into this situation where developers learned how to make the app free and then learned how to sell the information in the on the back end about what you're doing. But you couldn't see that happening. And mm-hmm. so the whole, just like the web browser situation we were talking about a few minutes ago, the whole thing about our user interfaces, whether it's a browser or an iPhone app, is to submerge all of this activity that's going on behind the scenes in such a way that we're just sort of, you know, as you said, happy as a fish in water.
Yeah, and most fish seem to be pretty happy in water. Yeah. Listeners, I'm curious, what do you think? Do we have a problem here with the amount of information we are handing over to companies like Google and Microsoft and Amazon, and even Apple? And do you think that these AI agents are a serious problem? Which isn't a fair statement, because they, in and of themselves, they're not a serious problem, but there are serious repercussions, I think, to the data they are collecting. Let me know what you think. You can hit me up on Twitter. That would be at TMO Daily. You can send me emails. That would be observations@macobserver.com. And of course, you can leave comments in the show notes. I'm interested to hear what you think. And we have a sponsor today, and that sponsor is Casper, the mattress company. And I would like to invite all of you to come sleep in my bed, but I know people would talk. So instead, I'm going to invite you to get your own Casper mattress and try it out for yourself. And the great thing is, it's not like getting engaged, because you can try one out for 100 days. So the deal is, you pick out the mattress you want, and you have it delivered right to your door. You sleep on it for 100 days, and then if you decide this really isn't the mattress for you, then you let Casper know, and they're going to take care of getting the mattress returned and getting your money back to you, because they're that certain you're going to like your Casper mattress. And I'm pretty certain too, because I've been sleeping on mine for a couple of years, and that's not going to change. It's a pretty awesome mattress. What they did was they came up with this way of putting together different types of foam to give you the right amount of support and the right amount of bounce, it conforms to your body really well, but it doesn't like suck you down in where you're stuck in what looks like a vacuum form mold. And the prices are great because they deliver them to you instead of having to send them out to showrooms. So I got a queen size mattress, which costs $850. You can pick one up for $800, because they're giving all of our listeners a $50 discount. And they have different sizes. They go from twin size all the way up to king size, and the prices are all fantastic. They don't have anything over $1,000, actually, which is unheard of. So great mattresses, excellent prices. The king size is $950 or $900 with your discount. And here's what you need to do. Go to their website, casper.com/TDO. Go to the website. Wow. Then use the discount code TDO. So that's casper.com/TDO and use the discount code TDO. You'll get $50 off. They're going to deliver the mattress right to your door. No shipping charges. And you have 100 days to try it out, and you're not going to want to give it back. I'm pretty sure of that. So thank you, Casper, for being our sponsor. All right, the other thing that I want to talk about today, this is kind of a community service message, and that's that there is a new malware threat that's out for the Mac, and it's actually out there where you can find it. And this malware threat is called backdoor.mac.eleanor. And it's actually in an application called EasyDoc Converter. And EasyDoc Converter poses as a cool little utility that lets you drag and drop files onto it, and then it converts them into other file formats for you. So it sounds really useful, but it's really just a tool for delivering this backdoor malware threat, and it doesn't even do the file conversions. So that's like salt in the wound. And once you have this on your computer, backdoor.mac.eleanor can access the web camera that's attached to your computer or built in. It can access all kinds of data on your computer, including documents. And it lets attackers run applications and other code remotely. So basically, it's just like opening up everything on your computer to some creepy hacker who could be next door or halfway around the world. And it's kind of a problem. Although, it's not quite as dangerous for some of us. Meaning, it's not quite as easy to get this installed as you would think. It's available on a lot of the well-known Mac software repositories. It is not, however, on the App Store because it has not been signed with a developer's Apple ID. So the default settings on your Mac will keep this from installing. And
let's talk about that for a second.
Yeah, let's do.
If you go to your Apple menu and you go to System Preferences, mm-hmm. you go to the Security and Privacy tab, and then you click on General if you're not there. At the bottom, you'll see the Gatekeeper controls. Now, it's not labeled Gatekeeper, which annoys me no end, but it is still the control center for Gatekeeper. And it says Allow Apps Downloaded From. And the first one is the Mac App Store. Those mm-hmm. are digitally signed. And the second one says Mac App Store and Identify Developers. So mm-hmm. developers that have signed their app with an Apple certificate.
Which means they are a paid member of the Apple Developer Program.
Right. And then there was that third one called Anywhere. You don't want to really allow apps from anywhere to be installed. And here's why. In the old days, when you double-clicked an application, the operating system saw what you were trying to do and just loaded it and launched it. But a few years ago, Apple added this certificate control to its apps, to the apps that developers also develop. And so when you double-click an app and try to launch it, something sneaky behind the scenes is going on. The operating system checks to see if this is a valid developer certificate, and if it's not, it won't launch. Furthermore, if a developer's application is known to somehow start misbehaving and is starting to do something bad that it wasn't doing before, Apple can pull their certificate. And so your operating system goes to launch the app and it says, oops, the certificate's been pulled. I can't launch this app. Now, we don't normally run across that instance. And so everything kind of looks hunky-dory. And when you double click and launch an app, it happens very fast because our Macs are very fast. Mm-hmm. But that checking is going on in the background, which is why it's very dangerous to download an app willy-nilly from somewhere because it looks cool. You saw a link, you got an email, you went to some website, you went somewhere and you just downloaded an app from a developer you don't know. You got the Anywhere box all checked, so the radio button's checked, so you can download it and run it. And lo and behold, it doesn't have a certificate. It hasn't been signed by a legitimate developer. And Apple can't stop it from running. And as you described at the beginning of the segment, you become totally hosed.
Yeah, and you don't want to be hosed.
No. So our advice is only download apps from the Mac App Store or developers you trust. Even if it's digitally signed, it should be from a developer you know about and trust. Mm-hmm. And keep that middle box in place. And we have heard that in Mac OS Sierra, the Anywhere box is going to go away as a further security measure to invite customers to be much more careful about where they download their apps.
Right. And if you're freaking out thinking, but there are apps that I get that I need to run, that I need to have that Anywhere option, there will be ways to deal with that.
Yes.
So, and we'll talk about that before Sierra is released. And John, we are out of time.
Oh, no.
It's time for us to wrap up. So thank you so much for being here today.
You're very welcome.
And listeners, I really do want to know what you think about AI agents and our privacy. So please let me know. Casper, thank you for being our sponsor. Head over to their website and get yourself a pretty awesome mattress. I do love mine. That's casper.com/TDO. And then use the discount code TDO to get $50 off, and your mattress will get delivered to your door. No shipping charges. That's a beautiful thing. Listeners, thank you for being here. We'll see you again tomorrow.